At Cool Air Products, we developed AC Smart Seal Quick Shot with professionals in mind. It's the only product on the market that's 3-in-1, with sealant, lubricant, and UV dye all in a single application. It's non-toxic, non-flammable, 100% safe to the touch, eco-friendly, and compatible with all refrigerants. It's a safe solution option, backed by years of R&D, Intertech tested, and has sealed millions of leaks. AC Smart Seal, the professional's choice.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to the podcast. So if you're a young technician and you just started out in the trade, I'm hoping that you have some hunger within you, that you want to climb that ladder. You want to climb the ladder of experience. You want to climb the ladder of knowledge, and you want to climb the ladder of the position that you currently are. You want to make it to service tech, lead service tech, assistant service manager, service manager. I mean, these are some roles that are within companies that are around the globe, quite frankly, and you can start climbing that ladder if you implement the right sort of approach to it. Now, we're going to talk to a guy called Josh Macy. Okay, I spent some time with him down at Florida when I spent some time with Helios. And Josh, he is, he oversees quite a few people. Like, he's going to talk about this. And he's only been in the trade for 9 years, and he's worked his way up very, very quickly as a young technician still to be in the position that he's in now. And he's going to talk about how he started out and how he got to that role eventually and sort of what he plans to do going forward. So good conversation, guys. Josh is a great guy, and we're going to get this rolling. This is the HVAC Know It All podcast. I'm your host, Gary McCready. This podcast is sponsored by Master. They got their lineup of heat pumps. They carry Mover. They carry Fujitsu as well. And if you guys are looking to get into the heat pump game, when we're talking about centralized residential heat pumps, ductless or VRF, check out what Master has to offer in their Fujitsu and Mover lineups. This podcast is sponsored by Cintas, and we have had a drop in temperature over the last few weeks here in Toronto. It's now below freezing point. We're in the negatives. Zero is freezing point here. I know 32 in the U.S., it's zero here, which kind of makes sense. Zero is freezing, right? Anyway, we're below freezing now. So wearing the right type of gear, blue-collar gear, is really important. That's why here we've partnered with Cintas to give you a link so you can go check some stuff out. It is cintas.com/HVAC know-it-all to set your crew up with some good blue-collar gear.
Welcome to the HVAC Know-It-All Podcast. Recorded from a basement somewhere in Toronto, Canada. Your host and HVAC tech, Gary McCready, will take you on a deep dive into the industry, discussing all things HVAC. From storytelling to technical discussion. Enjoy the show.
So, I mean, I don't want to bore the audience with small talk. I want to get into this conversation with you because I found it very interesting how you guys roll down south, and especially within the company you're working for, and how you take care of a team of technicians. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of a role that I've been thinking about over the last few days, and how stressful it can be, but at mm-hmm. the same time how fulfilling it can be, because you get to be a leader and lead these people into success. So yeah. Do you find it the same thing? A little stressful sometimes, but rewarding at times at others?
It can be stressful, absolutely, you know, because I always make myself available to anybody that needs anything. We have field supervisors that take care of a lot of, you know, the day-to-day stuff. But if there's something that they couldn't handle, I'll take care of it. If they're busy, they're off. You know, I take care of it. And there's a lot of moving parts behind the scenes that the technicians don't see so much of that I take care of. So you're busy. You're always, you know, got something to do. So it can be stressful because it's never ending.
Yeah.
But I enjoy it because I get to see the return on my investment, you know, putting in the time to help the guys. It brings out a lot in them.
Yeah, and I mean, what I'd like to talk about is the steps you got to get to that mm-hmm. point, because there's a lot of people listening to this podcast. They're just learning. They're getting into the trade. Some people have been in the trade for a while, but there's certain things that you need to implement. You need to self-invest. You need to obviously be a respectful employee. You need to do a bunch of things to get to where you are. And you're still a young guy, and you're leading this amount of people. Now, how old are you, if you don't mind me asking, man?
32.
So you're 32, yeah. And usually to climb the ladder, usually it's a person that's in they're older in years and older in experience to get to that point. So being as young as you are and getting to the spot that you've gotten to, I mean, I think that's an interesting conversation in how you got to that point. So let's talk about where you started, because that would be, I think, important to this conversation. So you started in the trades how many years ago?
I started in 2014. So whenever I started, I had just gotten transitioned out of the Army, and I had an opportunity to go to a trade school that the VA would pay for. So I went to the trade school. This great trade school was designed for service technicians. Okay, so I got that training. But when you come out of trade school with no field experience, nobody wants to give you a chance. So that was a hurdle in itself to get somebody to even give me a chance. So it's kind of funny. I dressed up, you know, I got, you know, a tie on and everything, and I'm going around to all the HVAC companies in town, and they're like, what are you here for? Well, I'm a service tech. I don't have many years of experience. Why don't I just get out of trade school? Nobody would even give me a second look. So I finally found one place that would give me a chance, and it was an install helper. So that's where I started, residential install helper. They gave me a chance. So I busted my chops. You know, I showed them I could learn it, I could do it. And then I kind of met some guys, you know, on different jobs doing commercial work. And I got with another company that would give me a chance as a service tech. And that's where I wanted to be, as a service tech. So I took that opportunity. I went to that company, and all the field experience that I had was installs. I had no service minus my trade school. Uh-huh. So I went to the second company, and they gave me an opportunity to be a service tech. But again, I didn't have any field experience. But they were like, you know, throw you to the flame, and you sink or you swim. And so I'm the type of person that I'm gonna figure it out. If I got to call somebody, I'll call somebody, but I'm going to figure it out, and I won't leave it until I know how to fix it. How it works, why it doesn't work. And I just absorbed that stuff. And so it continued kind of to snowball from there. I always had opportunities. I was lucky, honestly, to have the opportunities to learn the stuff that I did, commercial, residential, new construction, commercial. I mean, we did a little bit of everything. And so anytime that I did something, it like was locked in here. I remembered it. And coming up, I worked for a lot of different people. Okay. So not different companies, but different managers. So there's good managers, there's bad managers. And so I took from that the good and left out the bad.
Yeah.
So I knew what I wanted to, when I had that chance to become a leader, I wanted to take those good pieces and keep them and build on those and make them, you know, my foundation basically, and leave out those bad pieces. Because I mean, I'm sure you're the same. You've worked for people, you know, that you enjoy to work for. And that's what I wanted. When I had people that worked for me, I wanted them to enjoy working for me. So that's where I got started, and that's how I came up. And then whenever I had a chance to come to Advanced Mechanical Helios, I started here as a service tech. I was here a service tech for, I think it was roughly like 6 months, okay? And then there was an opening to become the assistant service manager for my area. I was promoted to assistant service manager. I believe I was assistant service manager for about a year. And then I got promoted again to the service manager for my area. I was that for probably roughly like a year as well. And then got promoted to the regional manager over North Carolina, South Carolina, and North Florida. And so that's kind of what my like backstory, my foundation, and how I got to where I am.
So, I mean, that, and don't mind my screen there. For some reason, it flashes green every once in a while. I don't understand it because it's a brand new camera and a brand new laptop, and I'm not a tech geek, so I can't figure it out. I need to call, like, do you guys have like Geek Squad from like Best Buy that come and fix things down by you guys?
Yeah.
I think I got to call those guys to figure this out for me. But I just find it pretty amazing. Like, you've been in the trade for 9 years and you've climbed your way up the ladder to the point where you are. So I guess you can give yourself a pat on the back for that, because I mean, that wasn't handed to you. You had to work hard for it. And I think that's what a lot of people listening to my podcast. I mean, I started a series about going out on your own and, sort of evolving as a business owner. There's a lot of people in this trade that eventually want to run their own shop. There's a lot of people that don't, they're very happy being part of a large team and having sort of the, all the people around them to assist them on a daily basis, because going on your own is like they say that you're your own boss when you go on your own, but you're not in a way, because all your customers are now your bosses. You have how many customers you have is that's how many bosses you have. Yeah. Right. So it's a different world. So, I mean, climbing that ladder as quickly as you did, was that something that was surprising to you, or is that something like you just envisioned when you got into the trade? I'm going to get to this point no matter what it takes.
I think it was my dedication. I've always been that way as a kid growing up. You know, I started working at like 12 years old. So I always worked, and I have this thirst, man, for knowledge. Like, I want to know things. I want to be able to fix anything. And so I think that dedication to like figuring it out and understanding it and knowing how it works is what has helped me succeed. And I have this, like, might be somebody else was saying, maybe I stole it from, but I'm like a sponge. I absorb everything that I can from anyone else that knows more than me. Okay. So then I'm the sponge. I soak it in, and then I can share it with somebody else.
I really like that, because that's sort of 7 years ago when I started HVAC Know-It-All. The three words that I go by are learn, teach, and entertain. And what those mean is I have to learn first, right? I got to absorb information. Then I can teach it to my audience, right? And also, sometimes we have to throw in some entertainment, because we can't all just be dry educational stuff. We got to throw in some humorous memes and some videos that are entertaining. That's why I like to throw music and stuff to some videos, like the one I did with you guys when we craned up that coil. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that I like to do. But let's go back to, I find it interesting because you said you're kind of thrown into the fire. I was also thrown into the fire in my early days of the trade. Once, I remember this conversation. I thought I was going to get fired a few times, because when I got into the trade, I don't think I was as driven as you were, right? Mm-hmm. I had jobs as a kid too. I delivered papers and flyers. And I remember one time I got so sick and tired of delivering these flyers, all the coupon flyers to all these doors. I took the pile of them and I shoved them into the sewer grate. Right. And they disappeared. And then I just started doing whatever I wanted to do with my friends. And when I was in my late teens, early 20s, I literally wanted to finish work, get home, get in the car with my buddies and drive to Niagara Falls for the weekend and party. That's kind of the mentality that I had when I was that age. And I had to get knocked on my ass a few times to realize, you know what, you better smarten up, because if you don't, you're not going to do anything with your life. You're not going to do anything in your career. And it was the boss that I had. Like I said, I think he was going to fire me on a couple of occasions. And one of the ways that I avoided this, or I think the way that I avoided this, is I said right to his face, and this guy was a very intimidating man, right? He was very intimidating to a lot of people. And I said, listen, you have not given me any opportunity.
I said, you send me with that guy, you send me with that guy, you send me with that guy. And I just stand there and I watch. Give me opportunity. Let me prove to you that I can do something than standing and watching. So, you know, he kind of nodded and he goes, you know what? You're right. And then he started to send me on these little small maintenances and stuff like that. And I was always taught that by the guys I was working with, not directly all the time, but indirectly, because I'd see them like, okay, there's a bad contact, or I'm probably going to quote that. They might not relay that information to me, but I'm noticing it. Okay, there's a bad contact, or he's going to quote that, and he's going to continue to work and get hours and stuff like that. So I would go out and I would do these maintenances, and I kind of did it the wrong way first. So I would come back with a list of like 20 things, right? That I could change it. The pulley's worn. The contactor's bad. There's some messy wiring. And they're like, we can't send this quote out. It looks like we haven't maintained this unit, right? He's like, pick like the worst or the two worst things on this list, and we'll do those. And then every time that then we'll start to, and then when you do like the pulley or the contactor or whatever it is, you can clean up the wiring while you're there, and we'll just kind of add a little bit of time to it. But we can't list all these things, right? Because it looks like we haven't maintained your unit over the last 5 years. So that was a learning curve for me too. But I guess where I'm going with this is I eventually got thrown into these service calls that I had no business being on. And what that taught me was if you don't go through the motions of the service call yourself, and you're not pulling the wires, and you're not getting your meter out, and you're not identifying components on a legend of a diagram, you ain't going to get anywhere in this trade if somebody tells you where they are and how to do it. Somebody behind you just, okay, put your meter there. But it kind of reminds me of maps, Google Maps. I don't know if I said this to you or somebody else when I was down in Florida, but it's like when I use Google Maps and it takes me somewhere, my brain doesn't remember how I got there because I'm following the maps. But back in the day, I knew everywhere where I was going because I had to lose myself first and then find it. And I'm like, okay, this is how I get back here the next time. But with maps, it's like, it's almost dumbing you down and telling you how to get there. And you're not really paying attention to the road. At least I find. So going through those motions yourself helps you retain that knowledge. And getting thrown into the fire is a very stressful situation. So I wanted to ask you about that. Did you find that stressful, but also very important to your growth? So I've mentioned this on social media. Let's go back about 2.5 years of doing some repair work and install work with Rapid Locking System. No callbacks as of yet. And the first press that was made in roughly 2012, 2013 in St. Louis, Missouri is actually still in service till this day. So we're talking 10, 11 years in. That one is still in service. So it all goes down to the method of install and how you prep the pipe. And if you're doing it wrong, you're going to have problems, just like if you do anything else wrong, like brazing, pull a vacuum, charge a system. If you do it wrong, you're going to have problems. So keep that in mind. All right, so I'm checking out the Testo 868S. This is a thermal camera, and it's a bit on the pricey end, but if you're using a thermal camera for anything really important, like infiltration into buildings, infiltration in ductwork, electrical panels, motors, bearings, you name it, anything that is of super high importance and you're using it constantly, the better quality thermal camera you have, the better you're going to be. So if you guys are in the market for a high-end thermal camera, check out the Testo 868S.
Absolutely. At the time, very stressful. Now looking back, I mean, to me, it was a blessing because it forced me, force is the right word, but it made me learn those things by myself, excuse me, to go through the motions, to figure it out, you know, the sequence of operations to say, versus somebody, like you said, standing there, okay, well, this happened. Now this is supposed to happen. Why didn't that happen? You know, versus me, wait, that's supposed to happen. Why didn't it? Let me figure out why that didn't happen. Versus somebody telling me before I even get a chance to look at it. So in the moment, yeah, it was stressful because like if something didn't happen and I hadn't experienced that yet, like, oh my God, what do I do now? But looking back on it now, I mean, yeah, it definitely changed the course of me in this trade for sure.
So that would be coming to my next question as far as now we're in this kind of different time of different time and age, and mm-hmm. people are a little bit different. The next generation coming up, they are different. I mean, we can't sugarcoat it. I mean, back in the day, some people got, they were abused by verbal assault, right? They got wrenches thrown at them. And there was a lot of different things that happened back then that people would suck up and move on from. Nowadays, it seems like we're in a bit of a different situation mm-hmm. when it comes to that. So do you think getting thrown into the fire is still a valid option for new people coming into the trade? Or do you think there's a different approach? Do you think there's a hybrid approach where it's like a little bit of fire with a little bit of backup and a little bit of assistance, rather than leaving them out to the dogs and just letting them kind of, you know, leave them on an island and letting them figure it out on their own? Like, is there a different way or a different approach nowadays that you see when you're leading your team?
Yeah. So I would say it's more like hybrid. So when we start a new guy, if he's, you know, green or very new in the trade, we'll train him with somebody for 2 weeks, kind of to get the base. This is how we do things. These are, you know, most of these guys come out of trade school, so they know components. So they can they know how to use their meter and everything, but they may not know where voltage should be or shouldn't be, or situations like that. So we train them 2 weeks. We give, you know, them that base knowledge of what they're looking at, where voltage should be. You can't do a whole lot of that in 2 weeks, but that's the hybrid part of it. So instead of just throwing you out there right away, we give you those 2 weeks. And then we're going to, you know, stay in touch with you every day. If you have an issue, you call your field supervisor, you can call me, you can call one of the lead techs. And if it's a situation where we can't help you over the phone, we have so many techs that we can get somebody to you pretty quickly, okay, to help you out. But 9 out of 10 times, you know, somebody's always available to help you on the phone. And that's how, I mean, we've worked a lot of things out over the phone. If they have a good knowledge and base of what components are and how to use their meter, you can walk a lot of people through what to check. And if they struggle, then they retain it. If it's just, well, you know, you call and this is what's happening, and you tell them, oh, well, this is what's wrong, the compressor's failed. I don't do that with any of my guys. If you tell me what's going on, in my mind, I'm like, oh, it's probably this. But this is what you need to check so you can figure out that's what that is. This is your, like, motion of checking and what you should check, where your voltage should be, where it shouldn't be. These are the parts that you need to check to come to that same conclusion.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, because if you tell them, they're not mm-hmm. going to remember.
I'll tell you what makes a good tech, in my opinion, is if you struggle, if you can't figure it out, and, like, it eats at you, if it, like, bothers you, like, man, I yep. could not figure that one out. And then you think about it in your mind, and, you know, what did I miss? What could I have done better? That's what makes a good tech.
Yeah. And I mean, I put something out 3 or 4 days ago, and it was an image from an Interplay learning sim, and I just wrote over it, invest in yourself. Mm-hmm. And most people said, yeah, right on, like, of course, let's do it. And then some people are arguing this concept, and I couldn't wrap my head around why they're, well, if I'm not getting paid, my company pays me to train. I'm not doing this on my own time type thing. And don't put techs down for not wanting to do unpaid learning or unpaid training. And I'm thinking to myself, listen, it's, if your company pays you to train between 7:30 and 4:30 or whatever time your work hours are, that is 100% excellent. That's perfect. And that's a good company to work for. But at the same time, if you go home and you spend a half an hour a night, 45 minutes a night on your own time and dig deeper, guess what? You're going to be ahead of the game, and you're going to know more than your competitors. You're going to know more than your own coworkers. And, mm-hmm. and I don't mean to say that in a way where you're competing with your coworkers, but it gives you more opportunity to grow within the company that you're at, and you can now support your own coworkers. You're more knowledgeable. And when you do these things, you're more valuable as an employee, but you're more valuable as a person in general, because you may not always work for the same company, right? And don't think of it as, okay, I'm only doing this for the people I work for. Do it for yourself, because you're not always going to be within that same company. You might work at the same company for 40 years, but most cases you're not. And you can take what you learn and the knowledge and the habit of learning and consuming and being a sponge, you can take that anywhere you go, right? Mm-hmm. Right. And one day you might have kids. Some people don't have kids, especially the younger apprentices. And you can take what you learn and teach them that, because you want them to succeed too. You can't think of this in a box as like, I need to get paid for all my training. You need to think of it outside the box and think of how it's going to help you succeed in life, and teach other people, give you leverage when you go apply for other jobs, give you leverage when you're up for, when you sit down with your boss or your manager and you get assessed every year or something like that. You know what I mean?
It gives
you, reviews. It gives you leverage in all those situations to say, hey, listen, I don't want to put anybody down here, but I've been doing this on my own time and I've learned a lot of stuff. I think my value is this. Let's talk about it. So what are your thoughts on training yourself or investing in yourself outside of work in your own time?
Yeah, I think definitely. I mean, if you invest in yourself, I mean, you're the only one that's going to reap those benefits. And you want to stand out. I've never had a problem with any tech, you know, tooting their own horn, I say. Like, hey, man, boy, I figured this one out. Not to throw anybody under the bus, but, you know, hey, maybe this guy, you know, couldn't figure this out, or we both couldn't figure this out. We put our heads together. This is what we came up with. We got the unit running again. You know, toot your horn. You know, brag on yourself. You know, invest in yourself, and then you have those opportunities to go and help other people and kind of share what you've learned too. And that makes you stand out. You could, you know, above your peers. And especially when it comes to those review times, it's not hard to stand out as a good technician. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you've seen it too. Technicians, newer technicians coming in, it's just different. They're all hungry, but like for different reasons, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You got to figure out what they're hungry for, and then kind of feed them that path.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's, everybody gets motivation from different things, and everybody gets hungry for different things. And it's super funny, because this is a theory I have, and I don't know if it's right, but it's a theory I have. A lot of younger kids now, let's say, when I say kids, I mean people in their young 20s, right? Because to me, they're kids learning the trade and coming up. It's almost impossible for some of these people, and at least in this area it is where I am, for them to go out and say, you know what, in 3 years I want to buy a house, right? I'm going to save for 3 years and buy a house. Well, houses are now like 1.2 million, 1.3 million, $1 million, just on average. And that's not even for like anything extravagant. That's just like a normal, regular family size home. And a lot of these kids are living at home. They don't have a lot of responsibility as far as bills. They might have a car payment. They might have a cell phone payment, but they're living at home. Now, when you don't have that responsibility of paying a mortgage every month, it doesn't drive you. I remember when I first got my first mortgage, I bought my first house when I was 25. I think I bought it for like $212,000 or something like that. And that same house that I bought, I don't know how many years ago, almost 20 years ago, that same house is almost worth $1 million now. So I mean, when I bought that house and now I got a mortgage, it comes out every month. I'm like, damn, I better like pull up my socks and really, really start to go here. Then when you have kids, and there's diapers and there's clothes and there's this and there's that and there's toys and there's birthdays. And then you have another kid and you have another kid. Like, I got three and now my kids want Jordans for, you know what I mean? Yeah. They can't go to school without wearing Jordans. You can't buy them $40 shoes, $50 shoes. They want the $150 pair of Jordans. And you want your kids to have everything, I mean, mm-hmm. that you didn't have. And I know sometimes you shouldn't spoil them and all that, but guess what? Now that motivates me even more. I want my kids to have a good life and go to school and not get made fun of because they're not wearing Jordans and stuff like that. And I don't know if that's the right mentality, but it drives me to work even harder because mm-hmm. now I have this family to support. So going back to my theory is that younger kids in the trade right now, they're not going to have a mortgage. Maybe they're going to have some rent. A lot of them are still living at home. What do you think about this theory that the responsibilities between now and 20 years ago, or even 15 years ago, are not the same for young people? So the drive might be lacking in some yeah. situations. Is there any truth to that, you think?
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that. I think everyone's motivated by something. You just got to figure out what that motivation is. Like you said, like young guys with kids, I mean, you got to provide for your family. That's a huge motivation. So their motivation is making, you know, their hours, their money. Some guys' motivation is just, you know, learning. Like, send me as many classes as you can. You know, I want to learn. Some guys' motivation is they just want something to do. I mean,
yeah.
Funny as it sounds, you know, some guys just they're bored. They want to learn something new. So finding what motivates people and giving, you know, providing that opportunity to feed what motivates them, it helps, you know, and there's definitely a difference between, you know, 10, 15 years ago than there is now. Because, you know, I think people were moving out of home a lot earlier back 15, you know, so years ago. Yeah. And, you know, bills and stuff. And now, like you said, you know, younger guys, they can stay home for, you know, several years. And, so it's tough finding what motivates the guys to succeed. And once you figure that out, that's what, anytime I do an interview, that's what I ask. That's one of my questions. What motivates you? What makes you want to come to work? Is there something that sticks out? That is it, you just want something to do? Is it, you know, you looking to make this a career? Is it for your kids, your family? So yeah, that's definitely a big factor.
Yeah. And how, I should have asked you this earlier, but how many technicians and supervisors do you have under you currently right now?
42 technicians and five field supervisors right now.
Five field supervisors. Okay. So, yeah. And earlier you said that you've worked for many different people, many different managers and stuff like that. And you take the good from all, but here's what I've found out through the years is that you can stand beside a bad technician or a bad manager, and you can also mm-hmm. learn from them, right? You yeah. can learn what not to do in certain situations. Cause I've seen, I don't know how many technicians I've seen as an apprentice. I could watch them struggle and I'll notice something and be like, I'm going to put that in my back pocket. And sometimes I wouldn't say anything because I didn't feel it was my place, or I felt like I was maybe going to get snapped at. Cause I've had those grumpy sort of, you know what I mean? Like dickheadish mm-hmm. kind of technicians that I worked with that if yeah. you said anything, they're going to snap at you. So right. there's times where I just kept my mouth closed, threw away the key and just put some learning opportunities in my back pocket, watching these people not fail, but struggle through things. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. So what in the past, some of the bad habits you've seen from managers that you wanted to get rid of, what were those? Like, what were those bad attributes that you didn't want to implement into the way you managed people?
Yeah. So what's the golden rule of treat people as you want to be treated? That's my big part. You know, I never cared to be talked down to. You put your boots on the same way I put my boots on. You may have more experience. You may, have more invested because you're a manager, but we're doing the same thing. Okay. So don't talk down to me because I don't have as much experience as you. Use that as an opportunity to show me and then teach me, bring me up. Okay. And so coming up, you know, I work for people like that. And so I never wanted to be that when I became this position. You know, I'm not going to make you feel dumb because you didn't know something because you've never experienced it.
Yeah.
I would rather share my experience with you and how I figured that out instead of, you know, make fun of you because you didn't know. And you see a lot of that, like on the social media pages, you know, people making fun of other people because they didn't know. Why do that? Why not take that opportunity to share your experience and help grow them versus knocking them back down? Yeah. So I'm a firm believer. People leave bosses. They don't leave companies. You know, some guys may leave companies for better benefits or something like that. But I think a lot of guys leave companies because of their leadership.
Mm-hmm. That's very true. This is one thing that I found that was pretty cool. And there's people chirping me about some of the videos, like, oh, there's like four guys on a roof changing a coil. I just change it by myself. And I'm like, guys, we're kind of doing something a little different. We were rolling around. We were doing some drive alongs and stuff like that. I don't think that's the way it usually is.
No, that's right? Not a normal day for us.
Yeah. You don't have four guys and an extra cameraman on every coil change. Right. So, what I found really cool is, and interesting, so you and I and two of the advanced mechanical employees were on the roof, and this is a Carrier rooftop heat pump, and I posted about this Carrier rooftop heat pump, and there was a couple of things in the lines we were unsure about. One looked to me like a strainer, but one of them I'm like, what is that? Because I haven't worked on a rooftop heat pump like that ever. Well, I shouldn't say ever, but that Carrier, I hadn't seen it before. And you said, and this is the funny part. So between you and I and the two techs that were on the roof, I don't know how much experience they have accumulated, but I mean, let's say we got 50 years of experience accumulated on that roof standing there. No one knew what that thing was. And you said, I'm curious, pull it out and let's look at it. Mm-hmm. And we did. And we looked inside of it and we're like, this must be some sort of a check valve because that's what it looks like inside. Obviously we got to leave that back in. Mm-hmm. And then we got the manual and we looked it up, and yes, sure enough, it was a check valve. So that was very cool as all the experience on the roof, and none of us knew what it was. And we took it out, mm-hmm. because you requested that the tech take it out, and we did. And we learned something that day. Mm-hmm. And I posted that online, and some people are like, what, you didn't know that? I'm like, no, I didn't know that. Like, I clearly said I didn't know that, and I researched it and looked it up and I learned something. So, I mean, it just goes to show you that every single day you're in the field, you can pick up something new. And if you're hungry for knowledge, like mm-hmm. you were in that instant, man, I want to know what that is. Let's take it out and look at it. You can learn so much. And that was one of the things that I learned early in this trade. The boss that threw me into the fire, every once in a while, he'd have these glorious tidbits of motivation, right? Mm-hmm. And he said to me once, he's like, you know what? He's like, if you take apart everything that fails, take the part out, take it apart if you can, and look to see why it failed. He says, you'll know more than everybody else mm-hmm. you're working with very, very quickly. And the knowledge that you'll get from that will be unbelievable. And I took that to heart. I would take apart like relays and look inside of them. I would take apart ignition controls that used to be sealed up and look at them. I would even read manuals of parts I had changed 1,000 times and didn't need to read the manual on because I know how to swap it out because I've done it 1,000 times. But when you pick up the manual and look at it, you'll see a sentence and you'll be like, wow, I didn't even know that about this part. Mm-hmm. Right. So there's just something to be said about curiosity and hunger and in your development. So, I mean, what made you, we're standing there, what made you say, take that thing out, I want to look at it? Like, what in you said do that?
Yeah. The well, what is it? You know, just the, you know, looking at it and discussing it and We all may have had a different ideal. So if we're if we're not sure, then let's take a look at it. Pull it out. Pull it out. We'll take a look at it. And I remember the tech, he was going to cut it out. It's like, no, let's not cut it out. Let's take a look at it first. Let's sweat it out. Pull it out. Let's take a quick look at it and see what it is. And then we'll put it back in. So just the not knowing if, I mean, it took, what, like a minute? We'll pull it out, take a look at it, and now we all know. Now we got more knowledge under our belt. Just things like that. I mean, if it's something simple, I mean, dude, just go for it. Take a look at it. Look a little deeper.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally agree. So, I mean, I don't want to keep you too long because I got to run on some service stuff myself too. But what you've gotten to this point in your career. You're 9 years into your career and you have over 40 people under your umbrella that you look after and take care of, which I think is phenomenal, by the way. What do you see the future for yourself? I mean, you got lots of time left in this trade. If you retire when you're 65, man, you got like 30 more years. Sounds scary when you look at it that way, right?
Yeah.
You got 30 more years of work ahead of you. What do you see in the future for yourself? Going forward,
I mean, I want to keep moving up the ladder. But my focus right now is helping the technicians, sharing, this last week, I was up in North Carolina doing installs and, I don't have to be there. I mean, I could find every excuse in the book not to go up there, but I wanted to go. I wanted to be out there in the field and share my knowledge. We've done hundreds of installs here, and some of the guys that were on this install may have done one or two. Well, I can share that knowledge with you, and then next time you can run that install. I'm not always going to be here. I'm eventually going to retire probably 30 years from now, but when I do, somebody else has to move into my spot. And so I want to invest in, you know, anybody that wants to learn. If you want to learn, well, I'm here for it. I'm happy to share anything that I know. And 9 years may not seem like a lot, but I have been very fortunate to see a lot and experience and work on a lot of different things. And so to share that knowledge, I just love to do it. So that's my focus right now is helping the technicians, training the technicians, bringing everybody up one level.
Yeah, that's a good thing to, it's a good quality to have is want everybody else around you to succeed because there's people out there that don't want anybody else around them to succeed. They want to take all the glory for themselves and say, look at me, I did this and then push their team down. Right. But there's something to be said. And one of the things that I never liked from a manager is micromanaging and, I mean, I spent a week with you and I never seen that from you whatsoever. Before we head off, what is your thoughts on micromanaging and how that could maybe put, cause you said people don't leave companies, they leave bad bosses. And I think that's one of the ways that you can really irritate somebody is be on them like every hour or every day and just be constantly saying, what are you doing? What are you doing? What's that? What's up? Like, the communication, it needs to be there, but not in a sort of annoying type of way. What do you think on micromanaging?
I think if you cannot trust a technician to do the job that's handed to them, you should never hire them in the first place. So if you can't trust them to go get the job done that's been, you know, tasked to them without micromanaging them, you should never started with them in the first place. So if you're going to hire somebody, you got to trust them. Trust that they're going to do the right thing. If they show you they're not, then that's a different story. But, you know, you got to trust guys to do the right things and let them show you that they can. Let them build that trust in you. Then there's no reason to micromanage them.
Yeah.
I don't check in with my guys constantly. You know, they all know what's expected of them. They know what they can expect from me. And we get the job done.
Good answer. Good political answer. Just kidding. Okay, man. I don't want to keep you. This has been awesome, man. And for the audience listening, I mean, dig in, guys. invest in yourself, and these things we talked about, I've been through them, Josh has been through them. And you don't get anywhere fast by being comfortable. I mean, some people like to be comfortable, and that's perfectly fine. And I'm not putting you down if you're comfortable in your situation. But if you're hungry, you need to implement some things outside of work. You need to be hungry naturally. If you're not, develop it somewhere. You need to be motivated. Sorry, I'm just looking at my page here because I wrote down a bunch of things. But that's how you get further in this career of HVAC. So, man, Josh, thank you very much, man. I appreciate this.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Yeah, no problem.
Hope you enjoyed the show. Follow HVAC Know-It-All on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, TikTok, Twitter, LinkedIn, and anywhere else Gary feels like popping up. This has been a Two Smokes and a Coffee production.